Hello, and welcome to the American Writers Museum Author Talks podcast, where we bring the power of the written word straight to your ears. This week, comedian and author Jenny Gorelick discusses her recent dating guide, The Book of Red Flags, with fellow comedian Ton Johnson. Content warning, this episode contains language and themes that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This program was part of the 2026 American Writers Festival. Co-hosted by the American Writers Museum and the Chicago Public Library, the American Writers Festival is a free literary event featuring in-depth conversations with diverse writers from across genres and backgrounds. This conversation took place June 7, 2026, and was recorded live at the Harold Washington Library Center. We hope you enjoy entering the mind of a writer.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the next program in the space at the American Writers Festival. My name is Annie Allman, and I'm the Administrative Associate at the American Writers Museum. I'm excited to introduce our next writers. Jenny Gorelick is a comedian, actor, writer, two-time Emmy-nominated producer, and former Jersey Girl based in New York. She's been called an ever-charming host and crush-worthy comedian by Time Out New York. Her essays have been featured in the New York Times Modern Love column, Cosmopolitan, McSweeney's, and The New Yorker's Shouts and Murmurs. Her Substack series, Night Out, about partying and dating in New York City, boasts over 10,000 subscribers and a 2024 featured publication designation. Anton Ton Johnson uses his comedy as a platform for the questions people won't ask and the things they won't say. He's here today to interview Jenny about her new book, The Book of Red Flags. Please join me in welcoming them both to the stage.
Thank you.
Hi.
This is the book of red flags. And I was thinking before we started on questions, maybe I would just read the intro for you in case you haven't read it yet, so you get a little bit of a sense of what's going on. Okay. So the first most important thing to know is that it is dedicated to all of my exes. And if we flirted for 5 minutes one time, you are my ex. So it's dedicated to them too. Okay. Dating these days is an absolute nightmare. If you picked up this book, I assume you agree. You're out in the town, you're on the apps, you're trying to meet someone to settle down with, or at least take you apple picking for once, and it's not going awesome. It's mostly bad apples. You're screaming into the void, "Why am I still single?" Or maybe that's what your mom said when she gifted this to you. "Mom, leave her alone. She'll meet someone eventually, God willing." Personally, I'm an atheist, but I'm at the point where I'll find God if that means I'll also find a husband. Being 33 years old, 34 now, and single, still single, in New York City isn't easy. If it were, we wouldn't have 6 seasons of Sex and the City and 2 movies. So I couldn't help but wonder, isn't it all worth it? And since you asked, I'm a Carrie, obviously. I wrote this. While my friends are out here getting engaged, I'm going on date after date with guys who check all the boxes. He has a good job, his own apartment, and most of his hair. Yet I'm still left heartbroken when I'm ghosted again. Or worse, we date for over 3 months, and he drops a bomb like, "I'm not looking for anything serious right now." I'm sorry, we dated for almost an entire fiscal quarter. Is that not serious to you? From May to July, I dated 2 different guys named Sam. Not at the same time, there are just a lot of guys named Sam. Both of their dating app profiles suggested they were looking for girlfriends. They were both in their mid-30s, so their prefrontal cortexes were done cooking, check. They had great jobs, one was a consultant and the other in real estate development, check. They both lived in nice, clean, one-bedroom apartments, and they took me on dinner dates and paid for the full meal. Oh, and the sex was good. Check, check, check. After seeing each other consistently for over a month, consultant Sam freaked out. One second we were on a dinner and a movie date, the next he's breaking up with me while I'm pantsless. Obviously, after dinner and a movie comes sex, not a breakup, and he didn't pay for my Uber home. What the fuck? Then, after a few weeks of dates with real estate Sam, he stopped texting me when we had tentative plans to hang out. I called him out, texting, "I get the message." He replied, "There is no message, I'm just busy." A week later, he sent me a breakup text. What the fuck? I gave you an out, sir. You didn't take it, then you dumped me. A week later, after I asked you, "Are you dumping me?" What the fuck? Not both Sams. How much can a girl take? But I shouldn't have been so surprised. I was overlooking some vital red flags. What's a red flag, you ask? Oh, honey, it's a big fat red SOS warning sign of danger when it comes to dating. It's the hazard sign for a wet floor. Slip and you might fall in love with a douchebag. It's a poisonous frog with brightly colored skin. Don't touch. He looks cute, but he might kill you. If there is anything I've learned in my decade of dating, okay, 2 decades, almost 3 if you count my kindergarten boyfriend, Jack. Call me if you're still single. I'll move back to Ohio. I'll try anything. It is how to spot a red flag. And I almost always run straight to them and play games like capture the flag. I have so many points. Let's tally them up. Did I win? Do I get a prize? Oh, it's HPV. In the past year alone, I had drinks with a guy who is wearing sunglasses in every photo in his dating app profile. 10 points. I went on a date with a finance guy who said he was going to pick me up in what I assumed was a car, but then rolled up on a motorcycle. 100 points. And I dated a stand-up comedian for 2 years. Ding, 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 ding. 1,000 point bonus. From my years of boots on the ground research, I can identify the little markers that this person is not my person so that I can move on to the next. How many red flags is too many red flags? Ideally, just one. One should be enough. But girl, I get it. Sometimes to be sure, you need to collect 2, 3, 5, 10 until you have enough for a whole cheerleading squad. Give me a T, give me an O, give me an X, give me an I, give me a C. What's that spell? The perfect guy for me. And red flags can be easy to miss. Is he in love with me or love bombing me? Do I have butterflies because I have a crush or because I'm going to throw up? It feels the same. Like, consultant Sam had a great job. He's a consultant. But when you think about it, that's a red flag. A man that you pay to tell you what to do, guys will do that for free. And real estate Sam, well, he would vacillate between, what word am I using? Between consistent and inconsistent communication. And I'd usually have to initiate. Red flag. But that was easy to miss because he was really hot. So anyway, it's kind of hard to ghost me when you're running the marathon. I can track you in the app, bitch. I hope that by laying out all these red flags, almost 100 of them, is that true? I can't count. I'll save you some time and some STIs. While you bravely go out into the world and date, this book is here for you to rifle through before you put on a full face of war paint, makeup, and armor, sexy going out top, and accept a drink from what could be the love of your life, or a literal demon. Laugh, cry, commiserate, tally up your points, and learn from my mistakes. Or don't, if the sex is really good. That's the intro. Thank you. Wow. It's noon. I said fucking sex a lot. Are we okay?
Yeah.
Are we okay? We're in a library.
Can we do that?
Am I allowed to do that?
I think we're good.
Okay.
We could cuss though, for real, right? Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, it's too late. It's in print, so.
Thank you for that, Jenny. I really enjoyed, you know, reading through your book and personally finding out that I am a bundle of red flags.
Totally.
I mean, I knew, but I was like, dang, like, might not be shit. This is cool. But so the light bulb comes, you know, in the summer of Sam, right?
Yeah,
you know,
big summer of Sam.
All these Sams. something that I wanted to ask you is, which version of yourself? We just talked about dating over like 3 different decades, mm-hmm. 2 decades. You know.
Yeah, it doesn't really count. But like, we would like kiss.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I didn't.
We'd hang out in recess, so.
We had recess dates?
Yeah, we had recess dates. Pretty sure nap time was adjacent, so.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Juice day.
He goes by Moose now. I found him on Facebook. He played football in high school and college, and he goes by Moose. Anyway, if he's single, Jack, hi. I say to camera, he'll never see it. Okay. Yes, Tom?
Yeah, no, it's good. Shout out to Moose. Which version of yourself would you most want to give your book to?
Oh. My 20s self was a hot mess and really needed this. I feel like now that I'm in my 30s, I'm dating in a way that is more specific. I'm not waiting for a guy to change and I'm not accepting, you know, the shit that I was in my 20s. Since I broke up with that stand-up comedian 3 years ago, I've been single the whole time, and that's because no one has been worth it. So that's really just having high standards, setting a bar. But 20-year-old me might have dated many of the men that I'd gone on a couple dates with for a year or more. So, but not anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. But 20s me really did need this. Although, that's how you learn. And aren't you supposed to have fun in your 20s and get your heart broken and HPV a couple times? Like, that's... that's what it's for, no? Maybe. And I will say, so Summer of Sam's. So, I feel like my hinge is broken because I'm dried up. I'm fully at the bottom of my matches, and I get a match from consultant Sam after he's dumped me, sent me home at like 1 a.m. that said on Hinge that says, run it back. I'm like, sir, you're page 70 of my book and the intro. Like, no, we're not. We're done. We're not going to do that. It's consultant Sam. But yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry you hit you with the Call of Duty terminology. Like, that's abhorrent.
Yeah.
To be fair, though, that's like a very Sam thing. Like,
I know. Never trust a Sam or a Mike. Sorry if that's either anyone's name to you, but you cannot be trusted.
It's like a moose thing, too, though.
It's maybe a moose thing. I don't know. I think moose is loyal. I think moose, I don't know. I have good feelings about moose, wherever he is. I think he's probably married with multiple children in Ohio. Okay, anyway.
He goes by moose. He out there drinking Red Bull right now. He's crushing the cans on
his
head.
That's true.
But if you're into that, that's cool.
Not anymore.
Okay. So you're originally from Jersey.
Yes.
In New York now. I think a lot of maybe people in here, at least maybe millennial older, are exposure to like Jersey was like that Jersey Shore type of culture, like that stuff. Like, is that real? And like, how was dating in that?
That is real, but that is not where I was dating. Okay. I just would, try that on for a weekend and then you go home. Because I'm from Central Jersey, which exists. So it's the part with trees. So we would go to the shore, just for like summer, and not even for my family actually would go to LBI, which is like way more family oriented than the shore itself. So I was really just dating. In high school, I actually wasn't dating very much, and then I went to college in Providence, Rhode Island, at Brown, and at Brown I started dating really properly. But then it's really in New York where this book happened. But yeah, I think the Jersey Shore people are perfect for each other, so.
Yeah. We were, so you mentioned your Hinge, and out in the hallway, we were talking about some things. So, in the dating app era and social media era, what do you think is the disconnect that happened with people in terms of making connections?
It's terrible. I mean, because I'm seeing, I think there's some couples in this room, and I imagine you met each other before dating apps. And how lucky are you? Like, that's amazing. Because the way we're dating now is really, it's truly a mess. Because something that you would know within 30 seconds of meeting someone in person, like whether you're attracted to them, if they have anything interesting to say, you don't know that in your dating app. All you have is a profile to go off of, which, people have gotten to be pretty good marketeers, which, and I'm glad, and there's a whole section in here about, red flags on dating app profiles, but, so you can X those immediately. But then people who have managed to find good pictures of themselves and interesting prompts, you go meet them in person, and it's within the 30 seconds of seeing them in person, you're like, well, this is not going to be it. And I would have known that if we had met at a bar or at work or at school or whatever. And I feel like it's so much harder now to get from messaging on the app to first date. The in-between of just, messy communication is really tough because there's you don't see the other person as a full person. They're just text in an app. So it feels easier to just stop messaging them back or never make a plan or make a tentative plan and then not follow through on that plan. Or because it's all just happening in a phone. You're not seeing this person face to face. So I just feel like I know people do meet each other on dating apps, and there's a whole contingent of people my age and they're 30s who they met their husband on an app, and you're like, that's a miracle, and let me call the American Pope. But I just think maybe we've also lost some of that now as the apps have been continuing on, because it's capitalist. So also you have to pay money to see better matches. And I don't want to, I'm investing in my dating life, but I don't want to be doing that. You know what I mean? I don't want to spend $30 every month to see five different mics who are going to break my heart eventually. It's fine. So that part of it, when it's monetized, I think is a huge issue. And also, you have so much more choice. You have everyone in the entire world in your phone. So I think it's easier to just, to be well, there might be someone better out there than this person that I've met on an app. What in my grandparents' generation, you meet your wife on the street, and then you're that's her, and then there you go, you're married for 60 years. So And in my parents' generation, you met at work, there's no HR, and then you get divorced after 20. So, and now in my generation, it's like, maybe you get married early, because that's like culturally where you're from, or you get married very late, and the divorces happen willy-nilly. And studies are saying that in 5 years, 45% of women, so a little less than half of women, between the ages of 22 to 44 are going to be single. That's a lot. And it's going to be me, and maybe some of us girls, and we're going to have fun. But, like, it's not... Like, I don't think the dating apps are helping the situation. That was my TED Talk.
For sure.
But you're engaged.
I am engaged.
Okay, how did that happen? Turning the tables, Ton. How did
you
do that?
It's fine. I'll tell the story if you really want to hear it.
Yeah, so I want to hear it. They want to hear it.
Look, this is how bad it is. I'm dead wrong for how I got engaged, y'all.
Okay.
I'm dating my friend's son's mom.
Your friend's son's mom.
Yeah, his baby mama. Yeah, no,
your friend's baby mama.
Listen, look, he introduced me to her,
and he was like, "Ton, go ahead."
No. He was like, "Oh man, because we're all comedians." So red flag.
Oh, big red flag.
1,000-point red flag.
Yeah.
Read the book. Yeah, no, we were all in a show, and he was like, "I want you to meet this guy. He's really funny. I like him. He's a good dude." And I remember, his name was Mike, too. Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like, now this is like Inception. But, like, I met her, and I remember turning to another friend of ours just being like, man, you know, she is drop dead gorgeous. She's really smart. Like, she seems like she's really cool. But, you know, that's Mike's ex, man. I would never do that. But then COVID happened, mm-hmm. and I was lonely. You know,
we all were.
You know, like, I got tired. I was like, my social life was the grocery store. Y'all remember the lockdown? Like, was I the only one who got dressed up to go grocery shopping? Like, I put on cologne for Zoom meetings. Like, it was stupid. So I ran into her randomly, and to be fair, I did call. Like, I was like, hey, man. Me and Sabrina have been hanging out, and, you know, I would like to, you know, take her out. Like, are you cool with that? I know you guys have a kid. And he's like, oh, man, we've been done for, like, 10 years. She's crazy, though. Good luck. And, you know, we made it to getting engaged, so I guess she wasn't that crazy.
Yeah, so how did Mike fumble that bag, do you think?
They had a kid in high school.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. For sure. Yeah. So you're going to be stepfather to your friend's son.
Yeah.
So his dads are going to be, like... close buddies.
Yeah, it's messed up because we're both comedians, and someone did ask me in front of us, like, which one of you was funnier? It's me.
Okay. Well, it's going to be the new husband for sure.
Yeah, no, it's me.
It's you. The second husband is always going to be an upgrade from the first, in my opinion. I don't know. I'm not divorced, so I don't know, but that's, I assume.
Have you ever had somebody, like, just, like, super upgrade on you?
What do you mean?
I'll give you, like, my ex, like, went from me, and she started dating Jimmy Butler.
That?
He's a basketball player in the actual NBA. No more. I played ball through college, mm-hmm. but, like, you know, I'm tall, but, like, he's taller than me.
Yeah.
I played ball, but he's in the NBA.
Yeah.
Like, she left me for me if I applied myself.
Right. And that makes sense. And more power to her.
Yeah, like, I was deeply, like, I can't even watch basketball.
That's sad. Mixing four.
Like, he tore his ACL this season, and I'm not going to lie to you. Like, yeah, that's what you get.
I don't know, like, deeply upgraded, but my ex, the stand-up comedian who is in his 30s, is dating a 25-year-old dancer. So I think that is what happens next. Do you know what I mean? And that's good. Like, emotionally, that makes sense. So I support them in that. And, like, I don't hate her. She's hot and limber, so happy for them.
I hate Jimmy. He's 6'7", stronger than me.
Yeah.
Like, how dare he?
No. I know, totally. Yeah.
I'm happy.
But yeah, no, I don't... How could anyone possibly upgrade from me? Whoa. Right, Ton? Right?
Oh, God.
Okay, thank you.
So we were talking to, like, I said we were talking in the hallway. One of my favorite dating app profile red flags that you pointed out, because I totally agree with you. I've coached many friends on not doing this. Mm-hmm. Holding up them damn fish.
Yeah. Yes, and that is a page in the book. And I have to say, maybe I'll just read you what. Has a photo holding a big fish. If you want me to know, you can provide. Post a photo of your bank account. And that's the fish. So, yeah, I just feel like, I don't know what we're trying to prove here with the guy on the fish. And you mentioned about the sunglasses. It's always a terrible outfit. And it's like, okay, I'm happy you went on a boat one time, but, like, tell me something about you. You know what I mean? Although now I think it's funny that women, there are some women who are doing the same thing. They're just like, here's me with a fish. So, like, I don't need you. I've got my own fish. And I think that's pretty silly. But I don't particularly want to go fishing or hold a fish. So I've not done that on my own app. I will say the photo that does the best on my dating app profile is me on Halloween dressed as Kimberly the Pink Power Ranger. Because she was every man in the demographic I'm looking for. Their first crush. So you're like, she's my first crush. I'm like, literally, I know. Yeah, you brought a knife to the fight. I brought a dinosaur robot. Like, we're not, it's not the same game.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
I should have tried. I could have been a black man because he was a black man.
I know. Well, people do say that. They'll be like, oh, I'll be the black ranger. I'll be the red ranger or whatever. That's a classic. Or they'll be like, oh, I love her. Or they'll be like, she died. And I'm like, what do you want me to say?
Yeah. Definitely smarter stuff, for sure. I mean, like, you know, what do you, I guess in looking at some of, like, the crazy stuff that you've seen, like, what do you think, like, there's other stuff that, like, men post? Like, what do you think they're trying to prove? Like, the fish thing, it's like, hey, I'm a provider. I guess we'll eat
fish.
Like, what are some other things where you're like, what, like,
well,
what
I
are
think,
you trying to say?
Okay, I think as a man, the best place to be on your social media profiles is private with 1,000 followers. I think that's the ideal. I think if you are private with like 200 followers, it's like, okay, does anyone in your life like you? And then if you are public with like a lot of followers, it's like, okay, I'm stressed about this. Clearly, there's a little bit of like, like, I think a male influencer is maybe the cringiest thing you can be. I'm like, I don't want a man to tell me, like, what, where I should go, where I should eat, or where I should go shopping. But thank you. So male stand-up comedians kind of fall into that category. Sorry. Sorry about that. So I think that. And then I also think on dating app profiles, I think the perfect dating app profile will be, like, the first picture is a really good picture of you with nice lighting that's not a selfie. You can only have one selfie on your profile. If it's all selfies, then you don't have any friends. And it's good to have a group photo, just one, or like a photo of you with your family, or just like proving that you know other people in your life. If you have an animal, obviously I want to see the animal. And I think the prompts should be a mixture of like something funny that shows your sense of humor, something that is a conversation starter, which like, would you rather do this, or like, tell me what our first date should be, or something like that. And then the third one is kind of a free-for-all to tell me something else about you. And you have to put your political preferences on your profile. If you don't, that's a red flag. I know what that's saying. And you also, I'm interested now because I'm in my mid-30s and seeing whether they say how they're feeling about children. For me, I don't want them. So it says in my profile, don't want children. So then when someone matches with me and it says wants children, I'm like, well, already, that's a fight that we've already started before before I even met you. It's like, I get that I'm hot and you want to meet me, but hello, I'm not going to be the mother to your babies. So how serious are you, Mike? Yeah. So those are kinds of things I'm looking for in profiles.
I mean, I took Mike's ready-made kid. He was already, like, 15.
Yeah.
So that worked out for me.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Like, would an older kid, like, would that be okay?
I think I would be a fabulous stepmom. But at this moment, that's not what I want for myself. Maybe later. Maybe when I feel more established in my career stuff, I would be open to that. But right now, I'm like, I don't think I'm baby. So I don't need it. There doesn't need to be another baby there. So
it's a secret checking for secret toxicity here.
Yeah.
Which one of the red flags in your book, or what are some of the red flags in your book that you actually like?
You know, love bombing feels really good at first. Because when someone is very into you and they're really, like, they're super communicative and they're complimentary, you're like, yeah, this is awesome. So love bombing is amazing if they can just, like, keep it up forever, you know, which then it's not love bombing. But I've never really felt anyone's managed to do that. I feel like after the honeymoon phase, people really just start to get kind of lazy with the, like, put some more bombs in your belt pack. You know what I mean? Love is a war. So yeah, that one feels pretty good. I say an eyebrow piercing is a red flag, but I do think men with piercings that are pulling it off is cool. Sorry. And what else is pretty good in here? I've dated multiple magicians. That's mentioned.
Where you meet them at?
Out. I'm a comedian as well, so I'm doing a lot of variety shows. So magicians are there. We have some of the best magicians in the world in New York, and the rest are in Vegas. And although you have an amazing magic theater here, the Chicago, yeah. Maybe I should see what they're doing tonight. Okay. wait, maybe that's where I'm going tonight. The lounge, right? So, yeah, I love magicians. Because, like, if a guy's going to lie to you, wouldn't you rather be amazed? So, I say it's a red flag in here, but no, I'll date a magician again. Maybe starting today. Maybe we're going long distance with it.
Now, get you one of those, like, real magicians, though, not like the David Blaine, I'm going to sit in this box for 48 hours.
Yeah, I agree. That's not magic.
That ain't magic.
No, yeah. I agree. David Blaine has trained his body to do some really gross, fucked up things, and that is not magic to me. Like, swallowing frogs to shoot them out is not magic.
Yeah, that's crazy.
No, it's not an illusion. He literally did that. He ate a frog. So, anyway, I agree. I have a big crush on Chris Angel, but he cheated on his wife, mother of his three sons that look just like him. Sad, but like, I don't know how he has six dubs. Why do you think he only has one girl?
Well, I ask you which ones that you secretly like. So, which are the red flags? You know, out of the ones that you laid out, what's the one that you hate the most?
I really get frustrated with, in the early stages, not making a plan, like the really like elongating and extending, like making a plan, or you go on a first date and then we're not hearing about the second date for a long time. Like, it's just like, we should be able to commit to drinks on a Tuesday. Like, let's just set it out. So that one I find extremely frustrating. And then I've had trouble recently with, there's a section about friends and family. I think the people you hang out with are who you are like. So I think it's a red flag if the friends are a red flag. Like, I think your friends should be good people. So in later stages in dating, I find it tough if, like, oh, your group of friends is terrible and I don't want to spend any time with them. I don't think we can continue. Family's a little different because, like, they didn't get to choose their family. So, but it can be tough. Like, my ex's dad was very big into Trump, and that was really tough. So luckily my ex wasn't, but I had to force him to vote in the primary, so whatever. Anyway, okay. I don't know where we align politically, but...
No, in this era, is definitely... Remember when people didn't tell you who they voted for?
Yeah.
Like, remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was crazy. Well, I went on a date... Okay, so I went on a date, a first date recently. We were having martinis, and he was telling... I was like, oh, I'm an author. And he was like, oh, I'm writing a novel. And I was like, that's great. He's like, it's going to be a fantasy novel. And I was like, okay, like Lord of the Rings, like Dune. And he was like, yeah, like that kind of like long epic. It's like, oh, amazing. And I was like, oh, are you writing it in final draft? And he was like, no, in my notes app. And I was like, okay. And he was like, oh, so what is like the political world of this fantasy land? Because the, you know, fantasy and science fiction novels are always about like something political going on. It's always like a dictatorship or it's fascism or whatever. So I was like, okay, so what's like happening? And he was like, well, they're all just like, you know, parties without any supervision, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh my God, you're a libertarian. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, okay, who'd you vote for? And he's like, last time didn't. And I was like, oh, And what about, and I was like, what about before that? And he was like, well. And then I was like, okay, buy me another martini. Let's see if I can change your vote. And then I couldn't, and I bet his novel's trash, but whatever. He's writing it in his notes app. I was like, what are you talking about? What is going on? And then I didn't, his profile, so again, he didn't put his political affiliations profile. So I should, that should have prevented me from going on the date, but no, he was cute. He was cute, but bad things going on in his brain. Yeah, right, sad.
So I asked you, like, by flash, you secretly like ones that you hate the most, right?
Uh-huh.
So I just want to take you through a couple rounds here.
Okay.
Red flags, you know, pick one or the other.
Okay.
Tell us why, but with a caveat, you can't change this. It's not going to get better.
Okay.
All right? Great. So these are out of your red flags.
Okay.
First one, the mama's boy,
okay.
Is mama too close?
Uh-huh.
Or the dude with no friends?
Mama's boy. I prefer mama's boy. I think it's actually nice when a boy loves his mom. I don't want mom to be cleaning for him and still making his doctor's appointments and doing all of that stuff, because then when you date him, you end up becoming mommy, which is like, I'm baby. But yeah, so that. But I think that's better than like loner guy, because like that feels like, oh, you at least you love a woman in your life, that's good, you're not gonna necessarily be a danger to me. Loner guy, you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on there, because we're, oh, you know, we date our number one predator, so we have to think about that.
Yeah, that's true,
right? Unless you're queer, in which case that's awesome. In which case that's amazing. I actually, an economist, she did a study, I'm talking about studies today, but she did a study where she like crunched the numbers for when women date men and marry men, and she was like, oh, economically, financially, labor-wise, time-wise, it's a terrible deal for women to marry men and have children with men. It's like they're hiring a junior support staffer that they delegate to instead of the co-CEO of their business. And the title of the article was like, how can women have it all? Be gay and move to Philly. Yeah. So.
Y'all don't have to do all that. Andersonville does exist. Y'all will be all right. All right, let's do another one here.
Okay.
Your friends don't like him.
Okay.
Versus his family likes you too much.
His family likes you too much. That's perfect. That's awesome. You want to be in with the family so you can be like, your son, right? He's being bad. He's not that guy, right? And they're like, yes, we love you. Don't leave. Which I've had, I am still close with the parents of two of my exes. Shout out Bob and Sarah. Shout out Bonnie. Yeah, so that feels good to be integrated into the family. Also, obviously, my family is a little bit messy, which is why I am a stand-up comedian. So it's nice to be adopted into one that's better. If my friends don't like him, they're right. We can't move forward, right? My friends have been with me for years. They know the real me. They know what's good for me. If they don't like him, no.
Same thing with dudes, because your friend could be like secretly hating on you, like, oh man, I don't think she's the one for you. And then like after the pandemic, they're dating.
And then they marry, yeah. And then they marry their baby mama.
And then they turn around and get engaged.
Yeah, like, exactly. So yeah.
I'm a bad friend.
Hey, but a good stepdad?
I am.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Next one here. He can't dress to save his life.
Okay.
Shows up everywhere in a blazer.
And it's not going to change.
It's not going to get better.
And it's not going to get better. Okay.
You cannot change him.
You cannot change him. Because I think not dressing for his life is something generally that is fixable. Because then you're just like, oh, you look so cute in that. You know what I mean? And you will them using the powers of your mind, you know, women are witches, to change his style. So I do generally think that that can be fixable. But in this world where, this science fiction fantasy world where he's only wearing a blazer every day or he can't dress, I think it's going to be the blazer and, like, he must be a politician or something. You know what I mean? Like, I'm dating Zohran. That sounds good.
I like that, yeah. I mean, I would date Zohran, too.
We all would. All of New York City. Nixon 4. Okay, yes?
Probably. I'm a Spurs fan, but I'll give you that.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah. The city is magical right now. I need to tell you, I bought a Knicks hat, so I'm not, you know, this is new. I wasn't an X-Fan before, okay? But now that I'm in, oh, it feels good. The bars are crazy. Everyone is family. We're buying beers for each other. Like, we're going nuts. Ugh. The city is magic. It's still runs New York. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, I can only imagine the goodwill and esteem. If they win the championship, like, on the one hand, like, definitely go out and party. But on the other hand, like, you know, you should have a weapon.
Okay. Me with a weapon? Please. Like, can you imagine that? I'd be like... They don't have a pocket. Okay. What am I going to do with that?
They don't give you all the pockets.
Like, no, what the hell? Yeah. Okay, anyway, this is a sport, though. So,
next one.
Yes.
The man who never texts back.
Ugh.
Constantly talks too much.
If he never texts back, that's just not going to work. I'm an anxious texter. I will double text, which I do think is helping the male literacy crisis. I just... Here's more to read. But, yeah, I guess a man that talks a lot is okay. I'm also a chatter, and we'll just be nonstop gabbing, I guess. Sounds kind of fun.
So your book is very man-friendly. There's short sentences. There's a lot of pictures.
Exactly. And it was written that way on purpose. Although the branding of it is very feminine. So I think what needs to happen is, like, girls need to subtly get it to the men in their lives. You know what I mean? Or moms buy it for their sons. Be like, oh, I came into this cool book. Yeah, but it is written specifically so that men can learn something. Easy peasy.
Definitely learn reading. I mean, I told you when we were talking earlier today, I read it with my fiance, and it was fun to have her constantly turn and look at me like, you do this. I was going to tell you, there was a couple of the flags that I was like, what'd she say fuck me for? She ain't even met me yet. Like, like, Hanes underwear does come 20 out the pack. I just happen to have a lot of the same.
Yeah. I think it's a little weird, but that's okay.
Look, I might need my samurai sword one day.
No.
Why are you attacking me?
Well, because you're going to attack me with it. So.
No, I'm not. It's not even sharp. It just looks dangerous.
I don't know.
Look,
I don't know.
I would say, look, the back alley door off there, it doesn't lock, so sometimes people get in. Would you fight somebody with a samurai sword?
Hasn't gotten his door fixed. Red flag.
It's call the building the locksmith. Door. I called the super.
Call the super again.
He don't answer the phone on Sundays.
Okay, call him on a weekday. My God. Your fiance's going to have to do it. She's going to have to be like, she's going to be like, I have a son at home. No. Okay.
This was going good. I thought we were cool. That's why my last question is bogus.
Okay, what is it?
The versus one. Again, you can't change this. It's not going to get better.
Okay.
3-minute man or 3-hour man?
And we're talking about sex.
Yes, ma'am.
Are there breaks?
Nope. No, right?
This one's the hardest one.
After 3 hours, it might not be.
You said no breaks, so I'm assuming he took a blue chew. Sorry, gross. We're in a library. I don't like this one.
I know.
Do I have my vibrator?
You're all right. All right, yeah, you can have it.
3-minute.
Okay. What if you didn't know?
I guess I'll be celibate. I don't know. I don't know.
Told you it was messed up.
Yeah, that's a fucked up question. We're in a library, Don. These are nice couples. They met in real life.
They did. Shout out to you guys.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Did anybody, after the pandemic, did any of the rest of them?
Yeah. Anyone seeing their friend's ex? Just
hey,
Don.
Listen.
Hey.
You got to do what you got to do.
Do you watch Summer House?
No, what's that?
Okay, it's an amazing reality TV show on Bravo. I hope they get an Emmy this year. But... that's a plot point, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, Amanda is hooking up with Sierra's ex, West. It's a huge issue. Anyway, while going through a divorce with Kyle. Everyone should watch. It's good. Okay.
Well, you were talking before, like, how, like, too, like, in this era, a lot of, like, you know, build relationships, people things are just kind of diluted, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think those shows are a really good example. Like, you got, you know, Who Wants to... Married at First Sight, 90 Day Fiancé, Who Wants to Marry a Goat, like all these different shows, like that just kind of
Yeah, it like gamifies dating. And like the apps feel like a game too. It's like, you know, because you're clicking and there are buttons. It's, yeah, it doesn't feel like, what are the priorities here? Are we trying to find a partner who's going to be with us? Or are we trying to like smash a bombshell? Like what is it? But, and I have in my book that it's a red flag to have gone on to a reality dating show. That's a red flag. Like, you are not here for the right reasons. So
I think you picked what? You picked The Bachelorette, didn't you?
Yeah, The Bachelorette. Like, I think The Bachelor, being The Bachelor or going on The Bachelorette is a problem. And I met a bachelor. I did a podcast with a Bachelorette contestant. He was like, you think it's a red flag that I went on The Bachelorette? And I was like, yeah, you did it for fame. And he was like, no, I didn't. I'm like, we're recording your video podcast. Like, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
The proof is in the podcast. Like, what?
What was the worst one of those shows to you? For me, I think I'll probably pick. Do you remember Flavor of Love?
I love Flavor of Love.
I love it too, but it's the worst like dating
Tequila,
show.
Tequila,
ever.
That one's classic.
That was terrible.
That was good.
I remember that one.
That was good stuff. Oh, Rock of Love.
Rock of Love was terrible.
No, good.
Like in a good way. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, like none of those people ended up with each other. So.
At all. Yeah.
No, it's not about that.
And social media wasn't even out for half of those. It was like, okay, y'all like. Flavor Flav has this many fans still in 2008.
Well, Flavor Flav has been amazing for women's hockey.
He has.
So we have to support Flavor Flav because he's supporting the girls.
All right.
Did we want to do... Do you have any other questions or do you want to do Q&A?
I got one last question.
Okay.
One last question.
Okay.
What's your red flag?
My red flag is that I will write about you. I am an open book. Nothing you say, I am not discreet. I had a guy be like, well, let's be discreet. And I was like, yeah, of course. And then I only texted one group chat with 10 people. Like, what? But of course. I'm a talker. There's going to be an essay about you. It might be in the New York Times. Like, so be good. I really think it's the Taylor Swift quote where she's like, well, if men don't want me to write bad stuff about them in songs, like, they shouldn't do bad stuff. Yeah. Sure. That's my tramp stamp.
That's fair. Okay, I think you probably need a good time to transition.
Yeah,
to
any questions?
Anybody has
them? Anyone dating? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I understand part of your goal with the book is to... you know, hopefully have men read it and understand and learn from it. But do you worry at all that with some of them, you're just helping them keep that mask up longer and waste, you know, women's time because they just get better at manipulating?
Totally. It's the question of, like, should men go to therapy? Because if they're not internalizing it, they're learning therapy speak. So should we stop therapists from doing their job? Probably not. I can't control what men will do. With the powers that be. Also, ultimately, this was a commission. So the reason and goal I wrote it was because Rizzoli said, will you write this for us? We looked into it, and we were looking for the person who has dated the most of the worst guys. And it's you. That's my SEO. So yeah, and it's also for women to laugh. But the goal was really, Rizzoli asked me to, and who says no to Rizzoli? Yeah, and it's a lot of jokes I do on stage, but also some that I only thought of as I was on my walking pad typing, being like, yeah, this is a problem. But yeah, it was fun to write. It took about a year, and then it was a year in the publishing process. And what's crazy is the first thing that they decide is like what the cost of the book is going to be because of the materials. So they were like, your book is going to be a $25 book. Now go write it. And I was like, what? Okay. Right? Hardcover.
I thought that too. You were talking about before, 20-year-old, you needed the book. I was like, 20-year-old me would have used this book for evil.
Yeah.
So that's a fantastic book.
I know, and men are always doing that. Yeah. Women just don't do that. We don't do stuff. We're not doing stuff for evil.
40-year-old me ain't that bad, but yeah, back then.
Yeah.
I think we had a question over here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you said it seemed like a 2-year process from commission to book.
Mm-hmm.
So over those 2 years, in essence, kind of the idea is 2 years old. Like, mm-hmm. You needed to add, like, an update chapter.
I don't have anything about sports betting. Huge red flag. massive. Yeah. That would be in there. There would be a whole new chapter about technology. Like, we would need to put something about AI in there. We would need to put sports betting. Like, just, I feel like in the past 2 years, there have been major, like, red flags in the world related to the tech that we have access to now. So, that. And I think I would need to be less harsh about the job stuff. The job market is not the same as it was 2 years ago. There's things about, like, not having a job or having this kind of job. It's like, well, if you don't have a job and live with your parents now, like, that actually might be, that might not be you. Yeah.
That's regular.
Yeah, that just might be everybody soon. And we'll have a commune.
Some new stuff, too, for this era, like, especially with young men, like, if Andrew Tate shows up.
Yeah. What's in your algorithm? Like, I don't have anything about that. Like, I'm interested to know, like, what is coming up on your For You page. Also, like, looks maxing stuff, that's not in there. And, like, why would I have ever thought that would need to be? You know? Who could have known? We would be like, oh, yeah, if you're breaking your jaw with a hammer, that's a red flag. Like,
that's what that is?
Yes. Or if you're, like, putting peptides into your body without, like, from China, that's a red flag. Like, yeah. Yes. The men are out here putting themselves on a scale of attractiveness. They used to only do that to women. Now they're doing it to each other. And they're doing some crazy stuff, including, like, using untested, unverified, like, lotions and potions and, like, injectables and, like, physically breaking their jaws and, like, getting weird surgeries to change their eye color and, like, yeah, it's crazy.
I'm so glad I'm old.
Yeah, you missed that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed that.
Old in quotation marks.
You're old maxing.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I'm gonna go play bridge after this.
Yeah. I know, me at my Mahjong. Like, we're not.
Mahjong is so much fun.
It's so good. It is so good.
Well, you should do macrame with my grandma. That's what I'm
saying. I would love to.
Yeah.
Please.
Seriously.
Yeah.
How does writing for stand-up versus writing for this book differ for you?
So for stand-up, because it includes the delivery and, like, the way that you are, you know, like, how you're phrasing this, what the pause is. In the book, I think I try to do that with my use of punctuation or capitalization, but it's really not the same. So I think I had to be wordier in the book than I would be on stage, because you would just know more from, like, my demeanor and how I say it. And there are also things in the book that I think wouldn't translate to stage. Like, there's some visual things that I think would not, like, would just not be as funny if I were doing it for an audience. But I have, like, from writing this, ended up writing new material for stand-up, because I was like, oh, right, this thing that I thought, like, I didn't have to, like, think about it in such a structured way before, and then I just ended up generating a lot of new material for both essays and stand-up and then this book. Anyone else? I do dating advice, too, so. Not that you should ask me. I mean, maybe you should ask Tom.
Definitely don't ask
me. Yeah.
I've only been in 3 relationships in my whole life. I was a nerd in school.
Me, too.
Like a nerd? Like,
yeah.
I had those big bifocals, and I played Magic the Gathering all the time.
Yeah, I was, like, a super overachiever, editor-in-chief of the newspaper.
Nice.
Drama. Did not, like, had my first kiss senior year. Like, I was... But then senior year, I got hot, and then I started making out with everybody. So, I was a nerd for most of high school.
So, I hit 6'2 in college. That did help.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
You know, but yeah, no, definitely. I was a nerd with bad grades in school. I don't even
know
how I did that. Like, struggle.
Then you're not a nerd, you're a dork.
I thought I was a geek. Like, so I was a dork.
I think, or maybe a geek, I guess.
Because I had Pokemon.
Then you're a geek. Yeah, and you have a samurai sword, so I guess.
I didn't get that till later.
Yeah.
And it was a gift from somebody, and you called that out specifically in your book. Again, what you say fuck me for?
Ton, I just know.
Like you just met me.
I know, but straight men are so similar.
I've never been fishing in my life.
But if you did and you caught a big fish, wouldn't you want to put that on your profile? Wouldn't you be like,
I probably would, but I wouldn't wear the racist sunglasses
okay,
while
good.
I'm doing it.
Because
they always got them racist.
Yeah.
Y'all
cross. You've seen it. They randomly have orange.
Looking like the dude from Star Trek.
Yes.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Star Trek. I wasn't there.
Of course, yes. Geek.
No, I feel bad.
And sorry.
Well, so, you know, kind of going back to just quickly here, I mean, Netflix is a joke fest. Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yeah.
Knockouts Comedy Fest. You're one of the people to watch for 2025, right? You're absolutely killing it. The book is hilarious. Definitely, if you haven't read it, check it out. What you got coming up that we should be looking for?
That's a great question. So I have been feeling it, like, I've just been feeling the need to write a lot of essays recently. So I've just been writing all these essays, which I don't know where they're going to go, but I will be submitting them, I guess, or hopefully I get a better literary agent and then I can have a collection of essays. That would be amazing. And I have some that are previously published on Cosmo, and I have a Modern Love piece that I'm very proud of. So I have been doing that. So hopefully you'll be able to see more of my literary work sometime soon. But in terms of performing, I've been working on my Hour of Comedy, which I'm debuting at the Edinburgh Fringe. And then after that, it will be a taped special and like web YouTube probably, unless like something really special happens at the Fringe and someone wants to buy it. So like you'll be able to see that definitely eventually too. And then I'm performing all over. So I just did my hour at the Lincoln Lodge, so you missed it. But I'll come back to Chicago. I love it here. And I'll be in DC and a big show in New York, and then hopefully Fringe goes well, and then I'll be in the UK. Yeah.
Let's give it up for Jenny, everybody.
Thank you, and Tom.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the American Writers Museum Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe so you are notified when new episodes are released. Now go, be inspired, and find the mind of a writer in yourself.